Thought for today. My children are a mirror of what I taught them. My children are a mirror of what I taught them. My children are a mirror of what I taught them. What did I teach to my children? Well, if you ever ask that of a family man, family woman, what will they tell you? Oh, I taught them values, I taught them respect, I taught them honor, I taught them all the wonderful things that a child should know growing up in the world. Well, how come your child is disrespectful to you? How come your child says, when I get around to it, don't bother me? How come your child treats you with such an attitude? Well, he knows better. Well, if he knows better, why doesn't he do better? And see, nobody in their right mind would say this to a parent, would they? You wouldn't talk to a parent offering him advice and suggestions on how to raise their kids. You just wouldn't do that. Unless you're Ellen. Ellen has the capacity to do these things without being disturbed by it. But most of us would be disturbed by it because we don't like to stick our nose in other people's business. So, we can observe the children of the world, and we can see them interacting with one another and enjoying themselves, and we can pick out the children who have parents who love them, and the parents, and how the parents love them. That's the good phrase. Parents who love them, and parents, and how the parents love them. Now, you can see a child who is orderly and mannerly, and you know that his parents loved him perhaps more than the child who has everything, because that parent took the time to give their own personal interest in that child to guide them to having values. And then there's another child over there that's hitting other children and taking things away from other children and just being very destructive. And what kind of child is that? You know that that's a child where there's no sharing in the family. Where the father comes in and the wife is reading the newspaper and he says, well, I'm home, fix dinner. He pulls the newspaper out of her hands and sits down and reads it himself. And that sort of disruptive, discourteous habit moves right on to the children. And then when the father sits at the table, he says, this food's cold. How come it's cold? Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? Why didn't you do the other thing? And then you'll see that with the children who are discourteous to one another. They say, you don't deserve to have this. This is mine. You can't have that. I don't want you to play with this. All these sort of disruptive habits you see expressed in children. Now, it's been my good pleasure to be around a lot of beautiful children. Children who were raised by parents who truly loved them and took the time to teach them good habits, good manners. And as you're talking to them, they're very courteous. It's not a courtesy because I'll spank you if you're not courteous. It's a courtesy which is sort of coming natural out of them. He says, oh, let me get this for you. Or can I help you? Or, you know, something like that. They don't say, would you like me to help you? Would you like me to do this? Would you like me to do that? You see, then you know they come from a family where they are told, no, you should always offer your help. You should always do this. You should always do that. They weren't taught, hey, see something that needs to be done and go do it. Now, last night, you served a beautiful cake. It was a birthday cake for Sylvia. She turned 19 again. This is the 19th time she's turned 19. Or is it the 190th time you turned 19?
A thousandth time
she turned 19. Okay. Now, everyone served a lovely piece of cake and thoroughly enjoyed it. And I had just come off my diet, and I was served a piece of cake and I thoroughly enjoyed it. And so Anita comes around, she says, would you like another piece of cake? Instead of coming and saying, here's another piece of cake, would you like it? Or here's another piece of cake, period. And then I can refuse it or take it. But when she says, would you like another piece of cake, that puts the responsibility on me to say yes or no, instead of taking the responsibility upon herself to say yes or no. But a good hostess makes all things available and passes it around, letting everyone know that if they want more, take it. Hey, it's fine, clean it up. You know. Whereas a hostess that doesn't quite know says, would you like? Because if you've been raised in a family where you're told you must do something, then you say, would you like? If you're raised in a family that teaches you to follow your intuitive sense, your intuitive inner beingness, you don't ask, would you like? You just make it available and tell, hey, this is available. Put this extra food on the table. Here's the extra cake. Just enjoy. I don't really need to put any more cake away in the refrigerator because just one piece like this doesn't do any good. Would someone like to have this? You know, you wouldn't say, you give it to your husband, or you give it to some person in particular that you know always has a good appetite for those things. Now, it's not the importance of what you're doing that it's the cake. It's the importance of what you're doing that you're making things available. It's the importance of showing how you were brought up. And you're not showing how you're brought up. You are showing how you're brought up by how you respond. Now, in Ellen's house, you go into her house, and what does she look for? She looks to see if you pick up the right fork and spoon. And in Mark's house, they look to see if you've, you know, taken all the food you want, make it all available to you. And they don't care whether there's a fork or spoon or anything else there. They do try to serve it nicely, but their table isn't bigger. It's only designed for two. And more than two there, it makes it kind of crowded. But, and then, I don't know, it might be different now. Mark has a new diet now. Before, he had a diet which included a lot of this and a lot of that in boxes, you know. So all the boxes got on the table. But now he's changed his diet a little bit to be sort of a normalish diet. And so I can imagine that they'll change their serving habits too. But again, my children are a mirror of what I taught them. I like to take credit for Mark. He is such a neat person to take credit for. Everybody who meets him falls in love with him. Everybody who meets him thinks that he's just a gentleman and a fine young man. Oh, he has his faults like we all do, and he has his places where he can improve. But generally speaking, he is top of the lot, cream of the crop. And that's a beautiful thing. Now, did I spend a great deal of time with him, training him? Well, I spent a lot of time training him, but I didn't call it training. I just called it living with him, showing him by my example. And my wife, too, showed by her example, because she had good manners, she had good training, she had tastefulness. You know, she's the kind of person who believes in anniversaries and birthdays and special holidays and other good things like that, always appreciating where people have their values. And that's a wonderful thing. I didn't turn that thing on. How are we doing? So, yeah, so what we want to do in all of our life is to remember that my children are a mirror of what I taught them. And if you go around and you see the children of the world, you have a perfect reflection of who their parents are. Now you say, well, can't children be different than their parents? Can't they be learn new programs that their parents haven't taught them? What their parents taught them is always going to seep through. It's always going to come out. They can hide it if they want. They can pretend they don't have it if they want. But what they do naturally is what their parents taught them. You say, well, what they did naturally is what they learned from their intuitive self. No, no. What they do unbidden, unhidden, is what they learned at their parents' feet. Who are the biggest belchers that you know? Where there's a papa in the house who belches, the kids belch. Who is the, you know what belching is? Kids who are come from homes who pick their nose in public are come from families who pick their nose at home. Children who come from families who are loving and gentle to one another is loving and gentle to the people he meets or she meets in the world. Wherever you are a living example of who your parents are. Now, Ingeborg wants to tell me that she's long past where her parents were, but she isn't. Her parents are as near to her and their teachings as near to her as the snap of a finger. In a second, she can see herself sitting on the post office desk in Italy with her mother working at the post office.
Germany.
In Deutschland? Oh, your mother in the post office everywhere, huh? Well, good. But, thank you very much. She can see herself sitting on the post office desk in Germany. And she's playing with the pencils there and playing with the things, and the customers come in and say, oh, isn't this a nice little girl? I'm going to take you home. And her mother says, please do. Of course, they never do. But so she ended up raising Ingeborg and teaching her all the loving, gentle values that she had, the values of punctuality that a post office has to have, the value of writing clearly and distinctly, but the post office has to do so people can read it, you know. And the value of knowing how to run the mail room. Here Ingeborg is back in the mail room again, where she started out with her mommy. Interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It not only the first time, she's ended up in the mail room a number of times here because it's sort of like coming home. Next thing you know, she's going to find a little doll and set it up on the counter there to remind her of when she was a little girl sitting on the counter. But you see, these things all come to roost. They all come to roost. And Anita, her father was into all sorts of handicraft and handyman type of thing, and she just loves being a handyman. Ellen, her father sold cigars and cigarettes and sundries, and her purse is always filled with that junk, isn't it? No, hardly.
A lot of smoke.
A lot of smoke. And what did your dad do, Sylvia? What work did he do?
Oh.
Oh.
He was a mechanical engineer like Greg.
Like Greg?
Yeah.
Oh, a mechanical engineer like Greg. And he could do most anything, huh?
Yeah.
No. Well, so you see, Sylvia should have married Greg. Then they would have kept that mechanical engineering in the family. I'm sure that's just what Greg would like, wouldn't he?
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, yeah. But you see, the acorn doesn't fall far from the tree, and the child doesn't fall far from the way that the parents had acted and the parents lived and the parents thought. And it's very true. It's very true. We are amazing people. We should really look at our children. And who are our children? Our thought children. We should look at them, because what are they telling the world about us? What are they telling the world that we believe in ourselves and that we think about ourselves? What are they saying? We should really look at that very carefully, because perhaps we're sending out a signal that we don't want to send out. So we might do a little bit of polishing, a little bit of working on it. My children are a mirror of what I taught them. And we best believe that. Because the children of the world are really exactly what we have taught them. Some have improved on it and become more of what we taught them, but they never become less of what we taught them. So make your thought children the highest and the best of what you believe about yourself. Thought for today, my children are a mirror of what I taught them. Have a wonderful day, and I love you.